Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day. Final hour of the show. Still tons to get into. We'll get back into the big story of the day in just a couple minutes. We got fresh audio.
Fresh cut audio.
Out of the email, probably from your email. Is that where it goes? Anyway, Smokin' Joe Patrick, our Falcons insider, is out there at the Flowery Branch. Raheem met with the media earlier today. Joe recorded that interaction, edited it down into little snippets of newsworthy clips, and then sent them over to the radio station. And we're going to play them on the radio for you. Mark Schlereth is going to join us in about 20 minutes as well.
He's hot.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's going to have some thoughts. He's going to have some thoughts on Aaron Rodgers and this whole situation, among other things going on around the league. And then we'll get to an AMA at 1:40. Any question, any topic to wrap things up?
Okay, now, maybe it's just the algorithm thing, and I hate algorithms with anything in life. Let me see it straight. But these algorithms that Georgia's wearing these black jerseys this weekend. We got Mississippi State at home. Please don't wear them. Don't do it, Kirby. Let them things sit where they at. In whatever trunk in the equipment room, don't bring them ugly-ass black jerseys out this weekend.
I agree.
I don't need no spark.
I agree.
Please.
I agree. Them. Although Kirby would disagree about the needing a spark.
Oh, he needs a spark.
He was calling the fans out.
Oh, yeah. Hey, y'all need to get chill out or whatever. I'm like,
well, maybe score some touchdowns in the first half. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I never heard him do that before. That was kind of wild. Did you guys talk about that earlier in the week at all? It's like Kirby's like, yeah, the fans didn't do good.
Yeah.
All right.
Play better.
I don't know. Seems simple to me.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And, you know, you play better, crowds into it.
But then I saw
know it was a hotter, humid day and everything. That's what they were talking about. It was just, I said this. When I woke up Sunday morning, I'm like, my pee is hot Saturday morning. George is playing. But for some reason, it was like lukewarm. He was lukewarm.
Yours was even?
Yeah, it was lukewarm.
Oh,
until about 1 o'clock.
So it's kind of a whole.
Yeah, until like 1 o'clock, I was like.
Fan base.
Yeah, thing. Until like 1 o'clock, I was like, let go.
You would think, coming off of that loss to Alabama.
Yeah, but it was crazy because I was driving home that Monday, and I was listening to Duke's Bell, and they made a great point, and I don't want to say great point, but people were pointing out because it's the Auburn game, because they moved the Auburn game, it don't have the same feeling as
could
usually,
be.
All those different things.
Could be.
I don't know.
I saw people, and I can't speak to this at all, but I saw people saying that Georgia doesn't do a good job of in-stadium stuff.
What is in-stadium stuff?
They don't have the, you know, like some of these stadiums have the big entrance stuff, and they've got their song they play in the third quarter, and everybody jumps around.
We don't have that anymore?
I guess they don't.
Oh.
I guess they play the song Georgia, which is a nice song.
Like,
I don't know if that's going to fire
hold on,
the whole
hold on.
Crowd
Like Ray Charles, Georgia?
I think.
Like
I
that, Georgia?
Again, I'm
nobody
not.
Nobody want to listen to that blanket third? Like,
I love that song.
Last time I went to, I love the song.
It doesn't seem like a good time
like,
for it.
Last time, I don't even remember. Last game I went to, you remember what game it was? I left that third quarter, so I don't remember. But no, they got to do something. Man, when they play the Soulja Boy,
so that's what people mean, is like there's not as much in-game hyping the crowd up stuff happens at other stadiums.
Could you imagine the fan base and that song with the song? Walk in your trap and take over your trap. Could you imagine them getting hyped to that? And the people in the stands like, what?
Then what is it?
Walk in your trap and take over your trap.
Yeah. I think that would,
could you imagine?
That would get me fired.
Could you imagine, like, Bob, who's a hedge fund manager?
Right.
Yeah. It's right. Like, what
like
is
the students probably
Bradley, what
love
is this?
It? Yeah. But then there's those donors.
Hey, Cheryl, go get my checkbook. Yeah, like, walk out there and go with your trap. Yeah, I don't
think it's a trap.
What the hell is a trap?
It's this trap you speak of. Yeah, so they got to thread that needle a little bit. But every school in this part of the country has stuff like that. You know, you got rich old donors that don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You got to play the music the students like.
Yeah.
You got to play the music the players like.
Walk in your trap and take over your trap.
They got those cool lights.
It's daytime.
Oh, yeah, shoot. I guess that doesn't work when the sun's out. I don't know what to say. I don't know. Maybe, and again, this is going to sound outrageous, so stop me if I go too far.
Okay.
Maybe Carson Beck could throw some touchdowns.
That would help,
half.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Walk in your trap and take over your trap.
There's got to be more to it than that.
That's
right?
All I know, dog.
No, not the song.
Oh,
I mean, just mean the process.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You're
I don't
not
know.
Just going to walk into my trap and immediately take it over.
But that's what it says. Walk in my trap and take over your trap.
I'm going to put up some resistance.
But still, just because you put in resistance, I can still walk in your trap and take over your trap.
Yeah, eventually you might.
Yeah, exactly.
Walk in my trap, and then we're going to fight for a little while.
Yeah, never take over your trap.
But you're stronger and you have more people and then you took it over.
Yeah.
But don't let the record not reflect that I attempted to protect my trap. All right? It's not as easy as you make it sound. Let's get to the big story of the day. Kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
Not much. You know, you're just talking about a veteran that can go out there and really execute some of the stuff that they were doing, and BY not getting the opportunities to do that at a full scale yet. So, like, you know, it wouldn't shock me. He's able to do some things well and come back and be able to play and be a really productive player in this league, particularly learning from a guy like Andy. You know, Andy's been doing it for a long time, the Red Rifle, and he's won a lot of games in this league. So, you know, nothing you're going to give him is going to shock him. So I think it's the experience, the ability to play, in this league and have a lot of success. Being able to go in there and really execute some of the offense that them guys probably been doing, that he's got a lot of reps at that he can
do. Don't let them get right this weekend. Don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, we talked to Dave Archer earlier, and he's right. They got some good, young, big skill players.
Yeah, there's some spots. Like, there's some guys that can give you trouble if you don't show up, like, fully, fully locked in.
But
there, I don't know that there's such a thing as the Panthers, like, getting right.
No.
Like, they could sneak you, maybe.
Yeah.
Don't let that happen.
Yeah.
Now, I don't. Raheem says all the right stuff about Bryce Young.
As he should.
But it's over there. Like, you can't bench the number one pick, and then, I mean, they're going to have to figure out something. Andy Dalton will be the starter for the rest of the year unless he gets hurt, and then Bryce got to come back. And I know Bryce went into that game against the Bears. That's because they were down 4 touchdowns, and it was what it was. Andy Dalton gives him a better chance to win because he's just a more efficient quarterback right now. He knows how to run that offense. If you don't pressure him, he's going to get the ball out to those receivers.
3 sacks, Andy.
There's some big-ass receivers.
Yeah.
If you don't tackle those guys, they're going to give you trouble.
No, I mean,
Chuba Hubbard's a good running back.
Yeah, and he's the focal point of what they want to do.
Yeah.
They want to run the football because that's pretty much, I would say, that they're good at it. Of every aspect of football that goes into football, that's the best part about this team. They can run the football.
The best thing, 100%.
Even the thing with running the football being what they do, even backup linemen can affect a running game. You know what I mean? So, yeah, the Falcons are going to have to put on their big boy pants and stop this run and let Andy Dalton throw the football and then be able to cover him. But, yeah, I mean, don't go up there fat and happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No kidding.
You got to go in there. And I can say this. I ain't got to play in the game. And I've been in a situation where – well, more than not, I was the Carolina Panthers when teams were coming to play us. But and we beat teams, and because we knew when they came in, fat and happy.
Yeah.
And we would jump them and bite their ass. Don't let them jump. Don't let that Panther bite you.
Yeah. Let's not be fat and happy off of a couple. Another good wins.
Great wins.
I'm not trying to detract from anything. Awesome wins, like clutch. Almost impossible to imagine win against the Bucs in overtime. Beautiful stuff. Shout out to Kirk Cousins, by the way. He was the NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
3 Falcons have been NFC, 2 defensive and Kirk.
In 5 weeks?
Yeah, man.
Jesse Bates week 1, right? Or was it week 2?
It was week 2.
Week 2.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Trey Anderson a couple weeks ago. And then Kirk this past week. So that's awesome. Awesome individual performances. You said it earlier in the show, and I'm with you. You should be able to get to the quarterback.
Yes.
They gave up 4 sacks to the Bears on Sunday. Now, the Bears, pretty good defense. But Andy Dalton got sacked 3 times. Bryce Young got sacked once. But if Bryce was playing, you'd have to almost guarantee you could get 3. Because that guy will just take a couple. Uh-huh. Like, he'll run into him. Like, he was just – he had no idea back there. And, again, I don't think he's going to play. But, yeah, I'll sign up for 3 with you. We can do that.
3 sacks. 3 sacks.
Not asking 3 that
sacks,
much.
3 sacks and a cornerback interception.
Okay.
All right, too much answer?
Do you care?
A.J. Terrell.
That'd be great.
I want to see A.J. pick up. He had one. It was right there.
It's right there.
Like, he liked to catch with his wrist.
Yeah,
it was right there.
I don't know how that ball hit the ground.
He catched the ball, A.J.
Yeah. He hasn't had one in a while.
Yeah, man.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, but, I mean, tackle.
Do you care who gets the sacks?
I want Judon to get sacks. And I want to see, I don't know.
I know who I want one of them to be.
Oh.
I want Judon to be one of them.
Yeah.
One of the edge guys, whoever you want to be, do it. Step up. Do something. I'd like Ruka Roraro to get one.
Is he from up that area? I know he went to school at Clemson. I don't know if he's from that area or
Must
not.
Must be.
But
gotta be.
I don't know if he's from that area or not, but I'm saying either, like.
But I can look it up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nope.
Okay. Where's he from?
Let me see where he grew up.
Yeah.
Because he's from Nigeria.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But he went to high school in Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
But no, I'm
so
saying,
no,
like,
no times two.
Yeah. But no, I just want to see them. You know, I want to see them dominate a bad team.
Yep.
You know, I think that's the main thing, the whole thing we're talking about. I want to see them go up there and not give this team life.
Yeah, that feels to me like the next step in what this team is trying to develop right now, where, look, 3-2, couple really nice wins in the division in a row. The offense showed up and did everything we asked them to do on Thursday night, right? They controlled the clock. They kept drives alive. They outplayed them. They had 30 more plays than Tampa had the other night. Did all the stuff we wanted them to do, which is great, and they got the win, most importantly.
Oh, yeah, this is the beat right here. Why can't you try to take over your trap? This is my guy, Bankroll Fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bankroll Fresh.
This would be a great song to play at Georgia.
Why can't you try to take over your trap? Could you see them up there bouncing, man? And Dexter from Monticello. Like, hey, Cheryl, what's this? Walk in the trap and take over your trap. Is it possibly Ari? Or is it?
Somebody comes, takes over my possum trap. Somebody's going to be pretty irritated.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, they want to take over our trap.
Hey, when we got up to Waynesville on Sunday, they had a squirrel trap set up, and there was a squirrel in it.
I know people up there eat squirrels.
That wasn't why.
Oh.
Julie was tired of the squirrels getting on her porch, eating her flowers.
So Julie gonna trap a squirrel?
Yeah.
What'd she do with it?
They take it out to her dad's house.
And do what? Beat the hell out of it?
Let it go.
Oh. I was like, they beat the hell out of it?
But can I tell you how excited Boone was to see a squirrel in a trap?
Dude, I bet he lost his damn
mind. He was like, finally, somebody's helping me out. I've been trying to eat one of these things for 5 years. We didn't let him eat it.
Why? We didn't take Boone out to where they let it go and just let him...
Nah,
it's fair game right there. Let the squirrel go, then let Boone go after it.
So they took it from their house to her dad's house, which is about 15 miles away.
They took
ten of which is on the highway.
They took a squirrel
15
miles away.
10 of which is on the highway.
What if he got family?
He had him on the back tailgate. So that squirrel's going 70 miles an hour down the freeway. Can you imagine being a squirrel? You're already high strung. You're a squirrel,
dude.
You're going 70 miles an hour inside of a metal cage,
dude.
That's a tough way to go.
That's a waste of time. I would have straight put that lumber on him.
I know they did a lot of work. Yeah. I was also like, there's other squirrels. Like, you're just going to remove every squirrel? You guys live in a forest.
Yeah.
Like, man. But I didn't say anything. They've been through enough. They've been through enough up there. They don't need my squirrel takes. They know more about squirrels than I do. All right. We'll come back. Mark Schlereth is going to join us. He's our Odyssey NFL insider. I imagine he's got a thought or two on what's going on with the New York Jets. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. 20 minutes away from the AMA. Any question, any topic, get the phone lines open at 404-726-0929. But 120 on Wednesdays mean Mark Schlereth joins the show, our Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're good. Good. Couple wins in a row for the Falcons. Very excited, obviously, what they did on Thursday night. A little mini bye, getting ready for Carolina on Sunday. What did you see from them in that win, probably specifically offensively, but what did you see from them in that win that you think is repeatable, that they'll be able to keep doing?
Well, one, I thought they had a great connection between quarterback and tight end and Pitts. You know, Kirk Cousins and Drake London, they found kind of their rhythm. Some secondary kind of players on that offense also got involved in the passing game, which I thought was huge. One of the big issues for me in the NFL is really how well do you control the middle of the football field. Mm-hmm. That oftentimes comes down to slot receivers. That oftentimes comes down to your tight end. And, you know, from the one of the very first plays where Pitts gets down the seam and catches one for about 30 yards. Like, it looked like a different offense. The rhythm looked like it was there. You know, all the nonsense about, no, Kirk Cousins was fine. We just never got in their center because, you know, that was our game plan and all that. Like, let's put that to rest. You know, I understand that you've got to kind of, you know, give your narrative and tell your story, but there certainly was a comfort with Kirk Cousins, you know, in all aspects of that offense, that he looked really good. So it was a big time performance, no question about it, over 500 yards passing. But it was fun to watch that offense orchestrate. It was fun to see all the weapons and all. I think we all assumed that this offense was really loaded and going to be very good. see it all come together was pretty cool.
Hey, they play Carolina this weekend, and, I mean, we know what they are, but does Carolina do anything good? I mean, Chubb Herbert, he's running the ball well, but outside of that, I mean, we were talking about the trap game and all that, and we know the NFL stink any given Sunday, but the Falcons should go in there and win comfortably if they play their game, right?
They should, yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely they should. They're a much better team. There's no question about it. If you gave a checklist to everything, I mean, every position would go in the favor of the Atlanta Falcons across the board, from quarterback to O-line to receivers to you name it. They get the check mark in every box, even down to coaching. So, yeah, any given Sunday, you can always lose a game. You can always overlook an opponent. And they're more efficient with Andy Dalton playing quarterback. But Carolina Panthers, make no bones about it, are not a very good team. So, yes, the Atlanta Falcons should go in and handle their business without question.
From a big picture perspective for the Panthers, obviously Dalton's going to be the guy as long as he's healthy, it seems like, for the remainder of the year. What should they do with Bryce Young? Like, how do they handle this?
That's a great question. Where's their next road game? Can they leave him there? I think the best thing they can do for Bryce Young is move him.
Yeah.
And ultimately, listen, do I think that I didn't think Bryce Young was, a first overall worthy draft pick when they drafted him? Like, the dude is tiny. The dude does not have, this is my novice, like, I've been around a long time and I played with some pretty damn good quarterbacks. Like, when you look at him sitting at 5'9", 175 pounds, soaking wet, coming out, you're like, that is not an NFL player. Sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, maybe he has, mentally he has some skills. Maybe but I just looked at that and go, dude, that is not what an NFL quarterback looks like. Like, there's so many things you have to overcome. And I don't look at him like anything that makes him elite. Like, he is small of stature. He is small in height. All those things are true, okay? Well, at least Kyler Murray has elite-level athletic ability to be able to escape and get out of there.
Right.
Bryce Young doesn't have that. Okay, so at least Kyler Murray also has elite-level arm talent. Well, Bryce Young don't have elite-level arm talent. Like, there is nothing about Bryce Young that says, oh, he's got an elite, and he's not an elite processor of information. So at what point do you look at it and go, yeah, you made that choice, whatever. But I think the best thing for him is to get away from all the expectations, all the noise about being a bust, all the look what we gave up to Chicago, get away from that, go back somebody up for a while, and, see if you can resurrect your career if you get another opportunity, or at least just go be somebody's good backup. And that's the best thing I think that could happen for him.
All right. So now you're in the magic place right now. I mean, obviously, you're in New York City and all that other mess is happening over in Jersey. But tell me, let loose, what's your thought process? I know a lot of us feel like, Aaron knew more than what he's saying and all those different things. And me, quite frankly, I think they fired the wrong guy. I think the offensive coordinator should have been gone.
Well, that was the plan. I mean, they came home from London, and the plan was they had a big meeting on the plane, and they said, what are we going to do to get this offense going? And, and Nathaniel Hackett was the overwhelming decision with the coaches. They were going to, hey, we're going to demote him from calling plays, and we're going to turn the play over to Todd Downing. And Todd Downing, remember, Todd Downing was an offensive coordinator before with the Tennessee Titans, who really resurrected, they created that running game, and obviously they had King Henry, but really resurrected Ryan Tannehill's career. So he was the coordinator then. And so they had a natural flow to change the play call. Remember, I was in Denver. I mean, I've lived in Denver forever. Nathaniel Hackett took play calling away from himself in Denver. He was so bad. And gave it to somebody else that's never called plays before. So it's not like it's unprecedented, right? He did it to himself. And so that was the plan. They're going to sleep on it. Somewhere between making that plan and deciding to remove play calling duties, Woody Johnson, it ran up the flagpole, Woody Johnson and Aaron Rodgers got on the phone. I don't know who called who. But after that conversation, Robert Saleh got fired. So I'm assuming that, hey, man, we're going to change the play calling duties from your boy, you know, Nathaniel Hackett, are you okay with that? No, I'm not. I don't like that. Okay, I'll fire, you know, Robert Saul. Like, to act like you had, like you didn't have influence, or to act like, you know, hey, Robert Saul is my best buddy, and I was blindsided. Robert Saul, I can tell you, was completely blindsided by this. And, you know, and I think the point is if you're going to fire him after a 2-3 start where you're sitting with half the league, you know, and you've got a chance to play on Monday night for first place or a portion of first place if you beat the Bills, like, if you're going to fire him after last season.
Right.
But,
right.
Like, to fire him right now at 2-3, again, this is why the Jets will never win squat.
Yep.
You have hired a head coach, but you haven't empowered that head coach to make decisions.
Yep.
So you're telling me the head coach is got a top five defense, a top five special teams in the league, and he's got, you know, his defense is in the top five in every significant category you can be in, and yet you decide as a head coach, hey, man, I need to change my play caller because this offense is stagnant. It's not doing anything. And that gets you fired? Like, you've appointed him the head coach, but you never empowered him to be the head coach.
Yep.
And so, like, at what point are you ever going to win anything if your owner doesn't empower the dude that he hired? Like, nobody will respect that. The players won't respect that. It just is. It's why the Jets are the Jets. It's why they don't win. It's why they don't make the playoffs. It's why they are garbage. It's like, it's a Woody Johnson thing, you know, that more than it is anybody else's issue. And to empower your quarterback to be able to make decisions like that and to be able to affect the entirety of the organization is just a recipe for failure, and that's why they're always a failure.
Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth joining us here, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Go find Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add a little extra deliciousness and flavor to your game day dishes this football season. If you were Devontae Adams, that's going to end. He's going to go somewhere. Where would you want to go? Like, where's the best spot for him?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would want to go somewhere where I feel like I have a legitimate opportunity to win. I mean, Devontae Adams has been paid, right?
Yep.
He's got generational money. I think he's got an out after this year in his contract, so he can get another big contract. But listen, man, losing in this league is miserable, and I was fortunate to play on teams that we did a lot of winning. But I had a couple of those seasons where we didn't, and it's hard, and it's miserable. And if I'm Devontae Adams, and I've arrived, and I'm that good, and I've made that kind of money, I want to go somewhere where I have a legitimate chance to win something, where I have a legitimate big-time quarterback and an organization that gives me a chance to win. So is that Baltimore? Maybe. Is that? And again, maybe you don't like the fact that Baltimore is primarily a run team, you know, and maybe they don't throw it as much as you'd like them to throw it, but the bottom line is you got a legitimate opportunity to win a championship in Baltimore. Maybe it's Buffalo. You know, they got rid of Stephon Diggs. Josh Allen was awful last weekend. You walk into Buffalo, you're automatically the number one target. So, like, you've got a chance to not only continue to produce and do the things you do in an offense that will allow you to do that, but you've got a legitimate opportunity to at least compete for a championship. You know, so maybe it's, you know, I've heard Washington bantered about, you know, Jaden Daniels has been awesome. They've got Terry McLaurin. They're running the ball. They're doing a lot of things well. I know their defense is not very good, but their young quarterback is playing at a kind of MVP level right now. So, you know, maybe it's one of those places. The Jets are the Jets, and Rodgers ain't going to last forever, even though you've had a connection with him in the past. Are you ever going to win a championship with the New York Jets? Based on history, I would say no. And if it's about winning a championship, then I would say that would be a place you don't want to go.
Great stuff, as
Appreciate
always.
Interesting.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Schlereth there. Mark Schlereth every single Wednesday at this time. Awesome.
Get a coffee.
Awesome stuff. We love it. Brought to you by... Well, first of all, I'll let you know he hosts a great podcast called the Stinkin' Truth Podcast because his nickname Stink.
Yeah.
He also loves mayonnaise, and that's why his segment is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. We're going to come back and get to an AMA. Every week. I'm just going to love it.
You're going to love it. You're going to sit up there and say it that, in that tone that way.
I just wish people could see my face.
Yes, because I'm the one that sees it every single time you say it, and then you make the
it's
same face.
It's just such a good
and
line.
And you make the same face every single time, though.
Mayo. You get it because it's mayonnaise?
Yes.
Mayo game day be delicious.
You make the same face every single time.
It's really good. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an AMA. Any question, any topic. Phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Load them up. Ask us anything. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org.
I'm hip.
AMA. Yeah, you're telling me all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, dog.
I've been out of the mix.
I'm in these streets, Monk.
Yeah.
I'm in these streets.
You are.
Yeah, man. I'm in the streets, dog. I've been out of my feed. I've been out of Lilbur a lot lately.
Where you been?
Snailville.
Popping in Snowville. All right. Final hour of the show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. One more mention of this today, and we'll keep mentioning it. We're almost there. This is a text from my mother-in-law half an hour ago. OMG, we're almost there. A million exclamation points.
There we go.
Your supportive, loyal listeners are literally knocking my socks off. So my mother-in-law currently wearing no socks.
Well,
thanks to
I've
you
only
guys.
Seen Julian sandals.
Yeah, she didn't wear socks that much. It's true. Yeah. $10,000, baby. Here we come.
I love it.
Heart eye emoji. Heart around your head emoji. Another heart. We are less than $1,000 away from $10,000 right now. So I will encourage you once again to head over to our fundraiser page, supportnow.org. / Helene Assist. The easiest way to get there is to go to 929thegame.com. There's a link right on top of the page, or go to my Twitter at TBM929. There's a link in all of my tweets. We're raising money for folks affected by Hurricane Helene in Western North Carolina. It's going to support the Haywood Schools Foundation. And being up there the last couple of days, talking to people that work for the Haywood School Department, this means a lot to them. Means a lot to them that we're all down here thinking about them, and that you guys are willing to donate and help. So thank you. And if you can, please do.
Yes.
Please do. All right. Mo is in Columbus. Hey, Mo.
Fellas. Andy, welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Hey, I don't want Abe to feel like I ain't called because he was on air. Abe, I went back to work this week, so the guy's back at work, and I got off early today. But got two questions for Randy. Randy, what was your biggest catch in the NFL? And the question to both of you guys, when you've been off of work for like a week and you go back to work, what's the hardest thing about going back to work?
Okay, my biggest catch? Oh, man, biggest catch. I would say the first one. It was so cool. I remember the play. I ran a flat route against Detroit. It was third down, caught it, broke a tackle, first down, first ever catch.
First game.
Yeah, first game ever.
How early in the game?
It was like in second quarter.
Okay.
But the favorite catch, that was my favorite catch too, because I caught the touchdown. And remember when Worthy this year threw it to his mom, I tossed the ball to my mom. So that was my most important
catch. First touchdown.
I caught it, ran over to the stands where mama was.
That's so cool.
Made her come down, toss the ball.
That's so cool.
That one.
That's
great. And when I'm going a week from work, the biggest thing for me, I don't really have it. I'd be ready to go.
I know what the hardest thing for me is.
What?
Remembering to say all these live reads.
Yeah.
Because we got 50 of them every hour.
Yes.
And I just finally got used to, all right, Man Cave Store. All right, this one. All right, that one.
Yeah.
And then I get gone for a couple of days and I'm back and Bo's in my ears like, you didn't say any of them.
Yeah.
You didn't say Mark Spain. You didn't say any of this stuff. So just trying to get back into that rhythm. And then it also depends on what you've been doing.
Yeah.
Or for me, it does. Like, I haven't paid attention to anything the last like 4 days. So trying to catch up on the drive back down here this morning and then try to fake it. And then let you do all the actual talking about stuff in detail that really happened.
Yeah.
But just trying to fake it. Derek is in Charlotte. Hey, Derek.
What's up, fellas?
Hi,
how y'all doing? Now that my Nick's got a cat, I have to make him hear that sound all season. Brock Bowers is silently pushing towards Rookie of the Year.
Sure.
Reason say look really good. And I want to ask you guys a question. The Super Bowl, when the Falcons go to the Super Bowl, that was on my birthday. Have y'all ever had a big sporting event or a game that was on your birthday, and do you remember it?
Oh, man. You know what? No. I tell you what used to happen all the time. My birthday is late June. They used to always have – this is when heavyweights were big time – Mike Tyson's always fight around my birthday.
Really?
I remember that as a kid.
That's great.
Mike Tyson's always fight around in late June a lot of times. But that's about it.
So my birthday just went, right? So it's late September, September 24th. So that's kind of the stretch run for baseball teams. So the Mariners never had any big games on my birthday. But the Huskies would oftentimes play non-conference, like pretty big non-conference opponents.
Right.
Because that's like, you know, that's like the third week of the season usually. My 21st birthday, they had Notre Dame in Seattle. And they got absolutely destroyed. But it was pretty cool to have that there and all the fans and all that kind of the pageantry of Notre Dame right. and all that. Would have been nice for them to actually win the game. I think it was Jeff Samardzija. Remember that guy?
Yeah, dude.
Jeff Samardzija destroyed us that day. Just could not tackle him.
How long did he play in the bigs?
He went on to be a pitcher in Major League Baseball for like a decade.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He was good. He was a good player. All right. Ed is in Lawrenceville. Hey, Ed.
Hey, gentlemen. I've got a question for both of you. Do you want me to ask both? And then let you go or let you answer?
Do both, and then we'll go.
Okay. Andy, welcome back.
Thank you.
First of all, are you aware while you were gone that Keanu Reeves was in a pro race at the Indianapolis 500 this weekend on Saturday and Sunday, and that Abe intimated yesterday yeah, that was no big deal. I could have done that. Mm-hmm. And Randy, when you work with either Abe or Fricky, you get any sort of combat pay, or is it a is it a regular fee?
Ed. Thank you, Ed.
Oh,
you charge extra for those days?
Oh no, I should. But it's always this. It's always different working with different people. Like Fricky, you know, I know how to work with Fricky. I know how to work with Abe. And the biggest thing is that you're just gonna have to endure loudness with Abe. Yeah. Everybody, he knows this. You know, he's an extra loud person.
Very loud.
But just, you know, go to Bobo, turn him down a little bit in the volume in the microphone, and we'll get through this.
What was the, I won't say worst, because it's Abe's a nice guy and we really like him. Like, what was the moment, though, if there was a moment where you're like, Andy needs to come back? He's ready for him to come back now. There had to be one.
Monday morning,
11:02.
Monday morning, 11:02. No. But no, Abe is fine. It's just, you know, it's not you.
Exactly. That's it. Here's what I'm all, because you're going to be gone, is it next week?
Yeah.
You're going to be gone next week. I'm always reminded, and I like working with all kinds of people, but I'm always reminded, God, it's easy working with Randy, and it's fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun and easy. And then, like, by, I don't know, Tuesday, I'm like, because I'm always thankful that we get to work together. I love it. I hope we get to do this for a really long time. It's my favorite thing. I love you. But you get used to it because you do it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And then like 2 days into working with somebody else, I'm like, oh God, I really love Randy. It reminds me to be thankful for what you got.
That's not it. No, it's no fee. It's no
what
fee.
Did he ask? Oh, I didn't hear that Abe said that, but no, I'm not surprised that he said that.
It was
that.
Crazy because I didn't hear the question when the caller asked the question. But I didn't hear Keanu. I heard Reeves and I heard NASCAR. And I was like, and so Abe was like, well, man, I was like, what did he say? He said Keanu Reeves was in a NASCAR race or something. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty
cool. Well, he only finished. And I was like, he's not a professional. They're a professional. What does it matter? Well, I was like, you know what? Whatever.
There you go. Yep. Yeah. You knew what path you were wandering down with
and
that
I left
one.
And I was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, no, Abe legitimately thinks he can do a lot of things that he can't.
Yeah. That's okay.
Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
He told us yesterday that he didn't go on field trips because he didn't want to miss P.E. I say the same thing.
Yep. That's why we love him, though. He's him. He's one of one. Yeah. All right, let's get the takeaways of the day.
As our show gets into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9.
Takeaway of the day, everyday rabbit show.
Jim Davis is the only guy in Western Tennessee the madness cable was on.
Yeah, he didn't want to have to watch those Volunteers on Saturday night. Mark Schlereth said that the Panthers should leave Bryce Young in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Just leave him there. Also, Wendy Adams.
Wendy
Adams is here. We got to see Wendy for the first time in a while, which is awesome. Love seeing Wendy. Wendy's here.
Aaron Rodgers, just a guy that used to be good.
Yeah.
And for someone with children and a wife, Andy Bunker should sure know a lot more about foreplay.
Yes, he should. And don't forget, Bo, you might take over his trap, but it's not going to be easy.
Nah, you got to put up a fight to take my trap. All right, we'll see what Dukes and Bell have for you next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.